We decided to do things a little bit different this morning. Once a year, we have what we call an annual meeting, an annual business meeting, and we never know how to make that exciting. And so we try to do a couple of things to bribe people to come. One is we have a potluck. And that does a couple of things, is that gets people here. The other thing that it does is it makes the meeting go faster because everyone wants to eat lunch. And so we do that. But one of the things that we often would do during the annual meeting is we would share about what had happened in the ministries in the previous year. We decided to do that actually during the Sunday morning service as a way of just celebrating the grace of God and his work among us. And I can honestly say is that this last year, 2016, is we follow a little bit different calendar with the churches. Is we kind of run our scheduling year from March all the way through February. And we do that because we need to have a way of kind of setting up our budget and all of that kind of stuff. That's why we do this meeting at this time of the year instead of in January or in December. And then also January and December tend to be a little bit busy. That's why we do it at this time of the year. But this is our way of just celebrating what God has done. I can say just beyond the shadow of a doubt is that we saw God provide exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. When it comes to, he just provided for the ministries of the church. He provided through prayer. And there's lots of good things that have been happening. And so different individuals are going to come and share a little bit more about that as we go through the morning. Just a couple of things, though. This is just me as a pastor. The annual meeting time is always hard on me, it's because that's the time when we put out this report and we have budgets and we talk about all of the stuff that I don't always enjoy talking about. On the other hand, though, it is a great opportunity to look back and just to reflect on the things that God has done. For me as a pastor, the thing that I care about in life is just following Jesus. And then doing that with his body, the body of Christ. And that's us here in Big Timber. I love this church. I love being here. I consider it a privilege to pastor here. And I know that when we do this well, that it can impact not only Big Timber, but it can impact the nations of the world. For being a small church in a small town, this church is amazingly active. And so I continue to encourage us to stay active. I continue to encourage us to live out God's plan for us here in Big Timber and in the world. The things that we do are so vital and they're so important. And we're committed to doing those things every day that we can. There's a few things in particular that we as a church need to focus on. One is that we need to be a close church family. What that means is that we need to be committed to each other. Now, notice that I did not say closed church family. We need to be a close church family. And the reason why we gather together on Sunday morning is so that we can go out into the world every other day of the week. And so we gather together, we're close to God and we're close to each other so that we can go out into our community, into our family situations, into our work situations, and live out the Christian life in every single one of those situations. And so this is important what we do right here because it makes going out all the more important. And we've seen that happen this year. And there's going to be a little bit of sharing about that a little later on. One of the vital parts of our ministry is the ministry that we have to kids. There's a reason why we focus as much as we do on kids. And part of the reason is because Jesus gave us a mandate to care for the little children. Some of those children aren't so little anymore. Some of them are getting almost as big as me. One of them or two of them are my kids. But I really value the work that's being done with our kids. As on a Wednesday night here, it's absolute chaos and it is marvelous. It is a lot of fun. And so Kyle's going to be the first one to share this morning. Following Kyle, we're going to have other individuals that'll share just a little bit also. But as we're walking through the morning and sharing testimonies about what's been going on, I want to encourage you to commit to another year of prayer. I want you to commit to praying to the many things. There's 72 people that are on our prayer chain. And on a regular basis, probably at least once a week, we send out a prayer request. We sent out one this week for Katie Capan. Some of you may not have heard, but Katie Capan was in a very bad accident this last week. It's amazing that she's even alive. And so those of you that know Troy and Debbie Capan, Katie is their daughter. And I saw pictures of the vehicle, and it was absolutely destroyed, and she was thrown from the vehicle. So you had to have a surgery to go in and repair some of her back, and they actually had to have surgery on the front, and they had to go in the front and in her back in order to repair the damage that was done. She was expected to be in ICU for a number of days. She spent maybe 2 days in there. She got out yesterday, out of ICU. Debbie just wrote me a little note and says, "We know the power of prayer, and so would you keep on praying?" We hear that over and over again. Prayer is vital. It's vital for everything that happened in the past year, and it's vital for what's going to happen in the coming year. And so prayer is something that we need to be all about. The other thing that we need to be all about is sharing our testimony and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for us. The church is not the church unless it's proclaiming the gospel. And so that's something that we do inside of the walls of the church building, but it's also something that we need to do outside of the walls of the church building. One of the other things that we need to do is we need to remember to always come alongside of the least of these. Come alongside of those that are struggling because of brokenness in life, because of hurt, because of pain, because of poverty, or other things that come about in life. We're called to come alongside of the least. And not the least meaning less than us. Meaning is that they have less for whatever reason. And it may be because of grief, because they lost a loved one. It may be because of poverty. It may be because of other things. These are the kinds of things that we need to do. Ultimately, what this means is that we do the things that are close to the heart of God. We do the things that are close to the heart of God. Now, ultimately, our call is to reconcile people to God and to reconcile people to each other. A part of that process sometimes is taking care of needs. And so throughout this morning, you're going to hear about how we have sought to do that in the last year. Can we do better? Absolutely. We can always do better. We do what we do day by day by the grace of God. And sometimes we don't always do it as well as we want to. But we seek to do as well as we possibly can. And ultimately, he's the Savior and we're not, so it's okay. We just trust him. But we're going to have Kyle come up. Kyle's going to share about the family ministries of the church. And Kyle is an incredible partner in the ministry of the church here. Obviously, we've been blessed. So thanks, Kyle.
Well, good morning. I was so ready for this morning that I tucked my shirt in. I hope you're proud of me for that. Just kidding. Before I start talking about all the really neat things that God's been doing, there's a verse that's kind of become one of my go-to verses this year, and it's a little abstract, so I'll explain it. But it came out of this training that Sam and I are walking through, but it says, "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." And in that, it's been so humbling and challenging to know that we can work and we can do whatever we want to do, as hard as we want to do it, but ultimately we know that every victory is God's, and every heart that's touched, every person that interacts with Christ, that's not us, that's him. So that's just been kind of my go-to motto this year, and will continue to. And before we get into that, I hear this all the time. Me and my family love it here, and we're not going anywhere, and we really like it. So that's a good thing for us, and hopefully for somebody. I don't know. We'll see. But God, we've been really blessed through that. But so really quick highlights for this year. I have a list. I will still forget things, but we have some really neat things going on in the family ministries. First of all, we have two new positions that we've hired on this year. The first one is Sam Fossum, which is probably hiding back there. He's back there. Hey, Sam. Sam has come on as our resident, and basically that means he's like a a step above intern. Like, he is our go-to guy for anything that we need, and we just lay it on him, and he goes for it. But he's been doing an awesome job, and it's been a huge blessing to have him. But he'll talk about that. The other one is Cece, who loves being acknowledged in front of people. She's hiding in the nursery, which is good. She's our new nursery coordinator, and there's been so much positive and good stuff coming out of that. We've redecorated the whole nursery. We've redone a lot of stuff. It's been really fun. So give her a thumbs up and pat on the back when you see her. She probably hears me right now because... Good job, Cece.
On 30 seconds
left. So let's wait. No, I'm just kidding. So then the really fun stuff. Wednesday night, when Brian said it was chaotic, Natalie looked at me and said, "That's an understatement." For some reason, God has really been blessing our Wednesday ministries. And for the youth group, every week we average somewhere between 50 and 70 high school and junior hires, close to 40 to 50 junior hires and 20 to 25 high schoolers, which has been crazy and fun. Destruction is the price you pay for youth ministry. So thanks, Kendra, for fixing all that stuff. But this year, we've split the high school and the junior high. We run them at the same time, and God has just been really blessing that. It's been really fun. This year, we really have started to focus on this idea of one-on-one conversations. And actually, that's how I gear my success on a Wednesday. It's not how fun and exciting it is, but how many kids come up to me afterwards and say, "Hey, I have a question for you," or "Can I talk to you about this?" Or some of our leaders. And it's been really neat to see that happen. Ever since God put that on our heart, every week it happens. And it's just neat to see how he's been doing that. This year, we have had approximately 20 people give first-time or recommitted decisions to Christ. And that's really neat. Like, that's what we really want to be excited about. We've have coming up a high school retreat that we're going to have just for our high schoolers. Should be really fun. We've done everything this year from like retro parties where we've played just old school Nintendo games, which for some of you are like, that's still new. It's not anymore. None of that stuff is new. Stuff I grew up on. I'm old. We're getting ready for a Kenya missions trip. We've had, I mean, there's a list of things that I could talk about. But the biggest thing is, man, these kids are just diving in. A couple weeks ago, Sam did a worship and prayer night with high schoolers that was just powerful. And it was just awesome to see them just pouring their hearts out. So keep praying for them. Some of our leaders, I just want to thank Clint Reck, Sandy and Andre Toulouse, Justin Heineman, Nathan McKinnon, Natalie Zigweed, Kalina, John Fisher, Yancey. All of these people come every week and just pour into these kids even when they don't want to. So if we can give them a hand, that would be awesome. The other super cool part of this year is our meal ministry that we have on Wednesday. And Hope Johnson, Laura McKinnon, Cece Steen, and Letitia Ruth take 1 week a month and cook meals for us. And we added it up, and there have been approximately 2,000 plates served on Wednesdays. And so if we could give them a hand, they've just been awesome this year. And also, in that, thanks to you guys, because I think we've had to buy like two things all year. Like, it's been amazing how you, how God has provided and how you guys have participated with us in that. And just know that that's more than just a meal. For some kids, that's why they come. You know, they come to eat and then we make them stay for the rest. But it's really good. It is. So that's been really fun. So alongside our youth group ministries on Wednesday, we also, on the other side of the building, run a kids group ministry. And we have, I believe, approximately 50 kids over there. Is that about right? Yeah. Julie's going, yeah. No, it's been awesome. And that is run by Karen Dribnicki. Cheryl Garten was helping for a little while. Tara Locke, Deb Titica, Julie Turlin, Kelly Reck, and then Dana is our fill-in guy, and then sign-in guy. So those guys have been running that pretty much on their own and been doing an amazing job with that. So if we could give them a hand as well, that'd be great. The neat parts of that ministry are that the kids every week are learning these Bible trivia questions, and they're memorizing verses and hiding God's word in their heart. And they're getting really good at it, too. It's been really fun. And also, we have handed out approximately 30 Bibles to kids that didn't have one. And they carry those things around like a little treasure. It is so fun to watch. And so that's been a really neat thing as well. Let's see, what else? So that's at Sunday. I really want to give a shout-out to our teachers. They're overworking right now, but we have one of the best preschool ministries I've ever seen, ever. And so if you see Jenny Chittenden or Kim Moore, Jenny hates being acknowledged publicly, but I'm going to do it anyway because she's doing an amazing job. So give them a thank you when you see them. And then for every week, we have a children's church, which we run, which Wendy Steen and Kim Baker helped me out with that. And then our junior high ministry is run by Laura. And if you just want to see how fun that is, just walk down and just look at all the sticky notes all over. She does a great job, and Yancey fills in for her. And then Sam Fossum, part of his deal is running our high school ministry, which they've just been doing some really fun stuff. Lots to talk about. Okay, so the other thing, really quick, we have an amazing, some small groups going on. Laura runs a really fun small group for the high school girls where they cook food and then eat it and then study the Bible. I want to come to that one, but they won't let me. Sam is doing a Thursday morning study for the guys. We had great camps, sent about 40 kids. VBS, we had over 100 kids. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there's tons of stuff. What I want to do right now is just really quick. I gathered what I could for some pictures because my talking is not as exciting as this. So I want to show you a few photos of things going on, and then after that, we'll have the next person share. But before we do that, continue to pray for these kids and continue to not just, it's such a blessing to be part of a church that doesn't just put up with the next generation, but values the next generation. Amen. And the leadership potential there and the ministry. And so keep praying for that. And here, enjoy this, and then the next person can share.
Rise up, rise up,
all the things you do when you love Jesus, right? Hey, it has been a good year. As Kyle mentioned, that we added a couple of new positions this year, and it has been so helpful to have someone that's just caring for our youngest kids with Cece, and then to have Sam also working with the youth group has been just really, really neat. We added another position also, and that's a facilities director. And we had had people who handled all of our janitorial before, but we were really looking for someone to kind of just take care of the facility, but also to do it when we're also in. And that's been Kendra Fieri, and she's been doing a great job. And she actually meets with us during our staff meetings, and we talk about, hey, how do we set up an environment where discipleship and evangelism can happen? And so she makes things look good so that we can destroy everything, and then she gets to do it again. So she does not have an easy job, but thanks, Kendra. You know, and just so that you know, is that you put a lot of time and money and energy into our kids' ministries. This last year, we had over 40 kids go to camp, and you as a congregation, through the church budget, sponsored almost $5,000 worth of scholarships, and that's really cool. Thank you as a congregation for investing in young people. One of the people that you invested in and who has now come back to invest in our young people is Sam. And Sam's just going to share just a little tidbit about the residency, but he's also going to talk about YWAM because you've been a part of that ministry. So,
hello. Hi. So I guess I just want to say a little bit about the residency. It's been really good and really challenging. I get to work with Kyle a lot. It's challenging. Brian, yeah, they said if I graduate, they'll shave my head too. No, the residency's been really good. We get to walk through, Kyle and I, some really incredible content, really challenging stuff, and yeah, I have a lot of fun working with the youth and being a part of that. And really, it's all because you guys have invested in me for so long, and I just want to say thank you for that. And not only me, but you've invested in a lot of the young individuals from this church. And so I want to talk a little bit about YWAM too, because, we've sent actually 6 individuals to YWAM over the past 3 years, all because of the church body helping support and fund them in financial gifts and prayer as well. And, yeah, it's really awesome. Yeah, so just this last year, two people have gone to YWAM, and that's Justin and Nathan McKinnon. Justin was a part of teaching or staffing a Bible school where in Samoa, and that was all thanks to you guys and your guys' prayers and support for him. And also for Nathan, he went and did a leadership course in Kona, Hawaii. That is actually really good stuff as well. So, YWAM, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's Youth with a Mission, and it's basically an organization that is devoted to training and sending young people, training them up in who they are and who God is, and then sending them out into the nations to bring the gospel to the nations, essentially. So, yeah, I just want to cast a little bit of vision for just exactly how much you guys have done in supporting the young people in missions in this church. So in the past 3 years, we've sent out 6 young people to YWAM to receive quality training, life transformational training, and then also to be sent into the nations to preach the gospel, into the nations to show the love of Jesus to those who haven't discovered it yet. And 6 individuals, 4 of those individuals have gone multiple times. And all thanks to you guys, again, in prayer and support. Some of those nations that have been reached by your guys' prayers and support is South Africa, Nepal, India, Cambodia, Uganda, Samoa, Turkey, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, and New Zealand. And that's just from the individuals sent from this church. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for being an incredible church body, to be able to come around the young people in this church with prayers and financial support. You guys are really incredible. And another one who's out there right now is my sister, Sienna. She's she's doing a midwifery internship in Oklahoma. She's in her last year, and then she'll be officially a midwife, I think, certified Anyway, I don't know how that works. But anyway, she's in Oklahoma delivering a ton of babies. So I guess where she's at right now is just she's done everything academically, I guess, that she needs to do. But she has 1 year to deliver a certain number of babies before they can say that she's official. So she's in her last year, and I think you can get her support letter. She just wrote an update, and it's out in the foyer, I think. But yeah, pick one of those up, and if you want to continue, you know, praying for her, supporting her in that way, and if you feel led to help donate to her as well and helping her finish her internship, that'd be amazing. So yeah, I just want to say thank you all. Give yourselves a hand. You guys are great.
Thanks. You know, it has been neat to see all of these young people go to YWAM. I don't know what the statistic is this year, but last year I think that there was over $27,000, something like that, that was donated to help YWAM students go all over the world. And that's because of your faithfulness and just your prayer and all of that. So that's really cool. I'm going to have Jay Provacek come. Jay always asks for $1 million. We never quite give him that much, but he does have some fun things to report about everything.
Well, good morning, everybody. We had a very busy year this year in missions, so I want to kind of walk you literally around the world with an update on the things that we're working on right now. So in the Philippines, you're feeding lunch to over 90 school kids every day during the school year. We added some more kids this year, and you responded by providing those extra finances to make that happen. We're also providing scholarships to half a dozen kids to go to college, and many of these kids are becoming leaders in the church, and they play music and they lead worship every Sunday, and it's been fun. You know, I've known them since they were little, so it's been fun to kind of watch them grow up these past few years. I'm going to move on to India. You're helping our good friend Pastor Samuel from Texas provide for 35 kids in his orphanage. We help him with food and clothing and some Christmas gifts for those kids, and he gives them a great place to live and takes really good care of them. He loves to encourage pastors in their walk with Christ. And, you know, India's become a pretty dangerous place as of late with the new political leadership over there. He'll bring up to 100 pastors to him when he goes over there, and they have conferences, and he feeds them, encourages them with sermons and different speakers. He provides them with materials to sew their own suits, and you all help with that. We provide the finances for him to be able to do that. Also, I know that some of you, like me, pray for him often as well, and he always tells me to say thank you to his Big Timber family for the prayers and all the finances that we provide. So I'm going to keep moving. We're going to go over to Africa. Over the past couple of years, we've been working to bring fresh water to the Maasai people in Kenya. So if you can imagine with me having to leave church right now and walk clear out to the town pump with a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up with a bunch of dirty water and carry it all the way back over here. And that's what you have to cook with for the day. And it's really unimaginable to us, but it's every day for those folks in Kenya. So one of the highlights for Montana on a Mission has been drilling 3 freshwater wells, and we're completing the last 2 just this week. Just so you know, the odds of hitting good, strong water 3 times in a row in this area of Africa is pretty low. So we praise God for moving that water right under the drilling wells every time we drill. There's always opportunities to praise God and to fellowship with believers in Africa, and it's been a tremendous opportunity for Montana on a Mission. We spend a lot of time with people. We teach them hand washing and some hygiene, and that's kind of how we build our relationships with them. And that's what we value over there. We know that they value the water that we're bringing, but we value the relationships that we're building with them over there. We're going to move on to South America now. One of the places we invest our church budget in is in the evangelical church missions. Right now, we have people all the way around the world that have invested their lives into becoming missionaries. And I think most of you might remember J.J. Guerrero and his family, as well as Aaron Brakefield and their family. Both of those families are in South America right now. They visit us once in a while and give us updates. I see videos from South America on occasion. And we support them out of this church. So now coming back home, along with all the international ministries all the way around the world, we do have a focus right here in Big Timber. Actually, we have two ministries here in Big Timber worth sharing about. But I think Laura's going to come up next to talk about Homeward Bound. So I'll skip over that. But we do have a ministry from this church called Helping Hands. So if somebody here in Big Timber has some trouble meeting some kind of day-to-day need because of a unique circumstance, that's something that we step in and we help with that. We've helped many people with this money to cover like an electric bill or some rent. Sometimes, you know, we just step in and help wherever they need us to. And all of that is what happens right here in Big Timber. So as Brian mentioned earlier, one of the things that people kid me about is that I've said that I want $1 million for mission work. So I wanted to give you a little update on that, on where we stand with that goal. I went back through the books for Montana on a Mission since 2008. That was our first official year as a nonprofit, so this doesn't count anything before that, and there were years before that. We've received and mostly put into action over $850,000 in donations. Yeah. Over $200,000 of that was just last year alone, you know. And a lot of that is right from you guys, right here in Sweetgrass County and this church. So let's add into that the money that we've utilized for the evangelical church ministries, and that's about $80,000. So then you kind of factor in the Helping Hands that's helped so many families over the years, and I figured that out about $24,000. You can move money around however you want there. And then finally, we provided, mostly outside of our budgets, about $50,000 to the Jesus Film projects for translations, film teams, and equipment. I didn't really have time to mention that. Hopefully I can come back someday with some videos and show you what's going on there. But anybody that's doing math in their head just figured out that that's a little over $1 million already. So that's something to celebrate. And yet, I'm really humbled by that, you know, to think that God would trust us with that much money. It's just amazing to me. And I'm really proud of all of you for supporting all these ministries. And I look forward to see what's going to happen in the coming years. But I haven't really thought about what's next for goals. But, you know, I don't think $5 million is out of the question.
Okay, we take the microphone now.
We did a million. Nope. So this is where Anna told me I should do a mic drop.
Yeah,
walk off
right.
The stage. So, but I'll just pass it over to Laura, and we can talk about Homeward Bound.
While Laura's walking up there, I don't want us to forget that when we talk about youth, we have a group of eight that are going along with adults from this church and from the Lutheran church this summer. And as you know, throughout this last year, we've got a variety of fundraisers, a lot of people pitching in, you know, whether it's cookie mixes, which are dear to my heart, and all the rest of it. So let's remember those eight students that are preparing to go and the people that are going with them, and I think that's an important part of our youth program.
Anything else, Denny? Do you want to just take this now? Good morning. I think that Brian put me last so that I had some obligation to be short so that we could go and eat. So I'll try really hard. I'm going to share a little bit about Homeward Bound, and there were just some really cool things. This is the second year that we've done Homeward Bound, and it's the first or second week in August. And Brian said earlier, one of the key things about all of our ministries is covering it in prayer. And we did something different this year with Homeward Bound that was a game changer in everything that we did for the rest of the week. And that was Al and Kitty Rickert organized a prayer walk and a prayer over our community the week before we started Homeward Bound. And we had people from almost every congregation in our community gather together, and they split up different sections of the community and handed them out, and people throughout the 2 weeks before Homeward Bound walked throughout our community and prayed individually over homes, over businesses, over people just walking and praying. And then on the Sunday before Homeward Bound, we all gathered up on top of Airport Hill and prayed over our community together. And like I said, it was a game changer for Homeward Bound because we saw God working in our community in the coolest ways over that 11 days. We had 263 recorded volunteers throughout those 11 days. So, and those were just the people that I forced into signing their names on the sign-in sheet. So I know there were a lot more than that. 263 volunteers throughout the week. And just a couple of cool little highlights for me. God was working in the tiny details in that week and in just the coolest ways. A couple of them where we had several volunteers who showed up who most of us, a lot of us didn't know that we had never met, that none of us, as far as we knew, had invited to come and volunteer. And they showed up and said, somebody came to my door last year and knocked on it and left this little note. And it meant so much to me. I couldn't wait to show up this year and come help. We had several of those volunteers that just showed up because they were so touched by a service project for the year before. So that was really cool. Karen's not here today, is she? Oh, okay. I was going to ask her if it was okay if I shared this story, and since she's not here, I'm going to go ahead and share it anyways. Okay, perfect. So this was probably one of my favorite stories from Homeward Bound. Last year, we had a really small crew on the first day where we went door to door, and so that's how we start. If you guys aren't familiar, we start the first weekend, we go door to door and just ask people, how can we help you? What can we do to help throughout this week? Do you know of somebody we can help? What kind of service projects can we be doing? The ladies cook, bake hundreds and hundreds of cookies, and we deliver these little like cookie bags to people all over town, and it's like the funnest thing. But we got kind of behind. We didn't get all of our door-to-door stuff done that first weekend, so it was Monday of Homeward Bound, and people were coming in, and we were sending them out to serve on projects. And we were kind of sending people out, and Karen was standing here in the foyer, and I said, do you need a job? And she said, yeah. And I said, great, we need somebody to cover this last section of door-to-door knocking. And she said, oh, I thought I would do anything, but I don't want to do that. That's the one thing that I don't want to do. And I said, okay, well, I can find you another job, but that's what we really need done. And she said, okay. And I'm telling you, more fruit came from her courage than I think anything else the rest of the week. That woman and the two boys went door to door in their whole neighborhood, in their own neighborhood. I think it took them a day and a half of door to door to get their neighborhood covered. And she came back, I wish she was here so she could vouch. She said she had so much fun. She connected with so many people in her own neighborhood. And from that, then a couple more tiny stories, and then Brian can tell me when it's time to go. Okay, so so from that, just from Karen alone, we had a couple of instances where, one, we had a crew organized to do a siding project on a house here in town. And at the last minute, that project fell through. And we already had a crew assembled of guys who have like skills and tools and stuff. And they were ready to do this. And then we didn't have a project for them. And I wasn't about to like use those resources to like, I don't know, come do something that like I could, like I, you know. They have skills, and we wanted to use those skills. And so we were kind of in panic mode, like, oh, we don't have a project for these guys. And then Karen came back from her first day, and she was giving me a rundown of all these projects and ideas that she had found. And she said, and then there's one more. And I told him that it probably wasn't going to happen because it's big. And this guy and his dad and his mom are building this house, and they're kind of older, and they're trying to do it on their own, and they've kind of ran out of time and resources, and he doesn't have time to go help them, and one of them has a medical, and they really need to side their house. Well, I happen to have a crew of guys who have nothing to do, and they're just dying to side a house. So they went out, and they did it. And then that same day, we had another instance where somebody called in and said, I got a heap of firewood and I need to do something with it. And sure enough, that day, Karen came in and said, well, I found somebody who needs firewood. Do we need firewood? Do we have firewood? We do. That just happened. And that same day, then another person called in and said, I really want to help. I want to volunteer. All I have is my lunch hour. I'll take my lunch break from work and come in and tell me what you can do. And I said, okay, well, what can you do? What are your skills? And she said, I really love cleaning windows. I have these Norwex wipes, and I like cleaning windows. And sure enough, Karen came in from her door-to-door that day and was like, I have a lady who wants her windows cleaned. And so Jackie came from her lunch break and went over and washed windows. So, like, this was happening over and over again throughout the week where God just would put a need in front of us in our own community and fill the gap perfectly within our own community. So it was just, it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. And we're getting ready to organize for the next one. So there's actually a sign-up sheet out in the foyer right now if you want to be on the planning committee. Oh, and every morning we started with a devotion and breakfast with Betty. And Marie and Hope Johnson helped prepare breakfast for anywhere from 20 to 50 or more people every morning to get people ready and cover our day in prayer and then send us out into the community. So it was so fun. It was so dang fun. So like I said, if you want to be on the committee, we had, I think, somebody from almost every church in our community represented on the committee, the planning committee this year. So bring a friend. Tell your other friends to come. Mark the calendar for August.
All right.
I think that's it.
Awesome. And believe it or not, is there so much more that we could share, but we can't just due to time. Is there are all kinds of things that happen in the background that you don't see. There's counseling that happens. There's everything from just helping people to kind of work out tough situations in life, whether it's just conflicts that are going on, or marriage counseling, or teen counseling, and things like that. There's all those kinds of things that go on a regular basis. In addition, is that every week we have this incredible group of people that takes on our fellowship ministry, and that's actually a big commitment to just provide cookies and treats and things like that for 120, 130, sometimes 140 people on a given Sunday morning. And that takes 12 different teams of people that average 4 to 5 people a team. And so you can imagine what it takes throughout a year to do all of that. There's 58 approximate volunteers for the fellowship teams. It takes a lot of people on a Sunday morning to be able to just open up and run the ministries of the church and things like that. There's been one individual that has handled our finances for as long as I can remember. I've been here 17 years, so 20 years, 25 years, who knows? Diana Plagemeyer, and she just retired this year. And Diana has kept so much on track, and she's had to deal with us pastors, which is really a big deal. But Diana, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Yep. And you don't realize how big of an issue that is, because when I came to the church, our budget was maybe $50,000 or $60,000. And we're operating over $250,000 most of the time just to run the ministries of the church. And then during the building project is that she just kept it all together, and we probably had over a number of years, not just with the building project, but well over $1 million that needed to be handled during that whole process over a 7 or 8 year period of time between when we started saving for it and when it actually finished. And it was kind of two building projects. It was the first main stuff and then the basement later. And she did an incredible job. And you can't imagine how much work that really is. So that's been a big thing. Marie Cowan actually took that position. And Marie is on a very steep learning curve right now. And she is doing a wonderful job right now. Debbie Arlian is taking the other part of that job. And also, that's a learning curve. And so between Debbie and Marie, they're doing what Diana and Dan did before. Dan did a lot of volunteering over a lot of years to help keep track of all of that stuff, too. And then we have committees and we have boards and we have an elder team. If I could just get the elder team just to stand for a minute. Not all of them are here this morning, but they're here this morning. They pray. They're available. They encourage. They kick us pastors in the hind end when we need it. But they're always there. Our administrative team oversees the finance, policy, and procedures of the church. And if I could get the admin team to stand for just a moment, they monthly meet to think about the budget and everything that's been going on with it. And they a lot of them also are involved in several ministries of the church. The trustees, they oversee just taking care of the physical side of the needs of the church and things like that. They had to do a ton this year, both because we had a ton of crisis emergencies with our facility and stuff like that, and then they also had some projects. And so the trustee team, if they would take a moment to stand. All right. Thank you guys, too. And Gal, as Stony runs it all, as she left the room one day and they made her chairman. And her term was up, and I don't think she was there, and she got reelected. And but it's good. And then we have what we call the PPR, and the PPR is really an advisory team for us as pastors, but they walk with us pastors through just what it means to pastor. And then they also they try to help us to make sure that we're relating well with the congregation and the congregation with us. And so the PPR team, if they could stand up for a moment. So, all right, there's two, and Marie was on that team for this last year also, so thank you also. Believe it or not, if we actually took time to focus on all of the different ways that people serve, we'd be here for at least another 15 minutes. So our audio video team and worship team is that's about 25 different people. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the background. Not only that but we live stream on the internet for people that are sick or people that can't make it. We have anywhere from 7 to 10 people that watch every Sunday morning. And are able to participate in our services when they normally wouldn't be able to. Last Easter, when we did baptisms, we had about 60 people that watched from all over the country and that were able to participate in watching their family members and friends get baptized last Easter. In addition, we have been able to do a number of funerals, live stream from people all over the country have been able to participate in the funerals of loved ones. And you know, you think about is Joe Stensis passed away this last year, and we had an incredible snowstorm on that day, and I just thought yeah, that would just be Joe. He's not here to shovel, and so he's going to, we had people from all over that tuned in on that also, we're able to do some of those things in the technological area, because you as a church say hey, let's get the message out there, and let's do this as a ministry and as a service to others. It just goes on and on and on. We have this little group. They're probably one of the more background groups in the churches, they knit prayer shawls. And when they gather together, they actually pray for the individuals that they give these prayer shawls to. And they're just a way of saying here's a physical reminder of the fact that you're being prayed for. And I think that they've done 380 prayer shawls that have gone out around the United States, many of them in our own community. And that has been a neat, these are the kinds of things that very few people know about that are happening in the background all of the time. And in addition to that, we have Bible studies and we have small groups. We have over 60 people a week that attend Bible studies in small groups. And there's just, we could go on and on. But we won't. God is good and God is gracious. You know, and ultimately, all of this is for His glory. It's not for our glory. It's not for us to say that we're a good church, because it's not about us as a church. It's about Jesus. And the reason why we do what we do is to encourage everyone to know Jesus and to follow Him every day and in every way. We want for His word, the word of God, to be central to everything that we do. We want to be about encouraging people to be all about the Great Commission. It's why we send teams all over the world. We aspire to serving in our community and in our world. These are the things that we're about, but we're about these things because God has been so good to us. And so how can we not try to do good in the world? And so it's because of his grace and his presence in our life that we do everything that we do. It's because we have a Savior who stepped out of heaven and gave up everything so that we could know him. And because he gave up everything, everything that we give is really pretty small by comparison. And so everything that's done is really done as a thank you, Lord, as an act of worship to God. And so I say is let's just be available in the coming year. Let's just be available to go wherever he wants us to go and to do what he wants us to do. Let's be available to love each other even when it's hard and even when the people around us irritate us. Let's be a close church, not a closed church, a close church family that gathers together on Sunday mornings and in smaller groups occasionally throughout the week. So we gather together for the purpose of being sent out again into our world. Let us encourage each other, and all the more, as Scripture says, as the day of Christ is approaching. Let's make the most of every opportunity, as Ephesians says, because the days are evil. Let us follow Jesus in everything that we do. It's what we're called to. I'm going to invite the worship team, and we're going to close with the last worship song. It's just our opportunity to say, God, you're great and you're good. And we will remember that always. Let's stand together. Let's pray. And we'll close in worship. Father and Lord God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your work in our lives. Father, we pray that you would get the glory over and over and over again for everything that happens. Father, help us to be available to you. Once again, thank you for providing for the church and for its ministries. Thank you for each individual that's here this morning. Help us to always remember how much you've done for us. And help us to worship you more and more and more as we go out and we try to live your goodness to a hurting world. Thank you, Lord. We give you this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.